Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. So, I thought I would start a new deep dive because a lot of people have been talking about Scarlett Johansson as of late. So I thought it'd be a good idea. Hey, do a little Scarlett. And what I thought I would do is start off with just kind of things that I've written about her over the years. And I'll tell you, when I was doing all this, and this is true for everything, and I've said it before, you just forget all these things that, you know, with people were involved with and situations and how they used to be perceived and how they are now. You know, but there's a lot of talk right now in about Scarlett and Colin Jost, and it seems to be a fairly big topic. So I thought, you know, hey, I'll talk about Scarlett for a little bit. And back in 2013, she said that she wanted to run for political office. And I'm trying to think of that that was 2013. I'm trying to think of it in 2020. And I don't see it now, and I didn't see it then. And when you want to run for political office, there's a couple things you have to do above all others. And since we're in the political season, I think many of you are probably familiar with those things. And I'm not talking about, you know, policies or anything like that. I'm just talking about the basics. And you have to meet and greet lots of people, and you have to ask them for money. That's essentially what politics is about. And Scarlett would suck at both. Actually, she sucks at both. You know, she never has really met a fan that she likes. And even when they actually pay her money, will come up with any excuse not to spend time with them. And I will talk about that in a bit, because I had forgotten some of the scandals about her and meet and greets. So, you know, she said that she would like to run for political office because there's lots of things she feels she can change about the world. And she also thought that since she gives money to candidates, that makes her very well qualified to run for office herself. And when she does give money to candidates, she makes it very clear she wants to meet them, she wants access, which is something that she really hates doing. You know, and this is also, you know, coming from Scarlett, it's also the same person who thought she could make a living as a singer and was going to be married to Ryan Reynolds forever. Granted, she didn't know his mirror was part of the bargain, but still. The first time I think I wrote about Scarlett was back in February of 2007. It was around then. And, you know, the blog started in the middle of November 2006. So there's probably some articles. But one of the things that she was subjected to, and a lot of people were subjected to, was just because Angelina was in the middle of all of her adoptions and everything. And Scarlett was in India doing some kind of work for Oxfam, which was her charity of choice at that time. And she was there for about a week. And, you know, just doing her thing. And the thing is that all the UK tabloids said she was there to adopt. And I was just, that's so ridiculous. But, you know, it's what everybody was doing. You do not maybe remember, but when Angelina started doing her adoption thing, it became a huge, huge thing. Everybody suddenly decided they were going to adopt a baby, and everybody was, you know, on board, and it was just adoption, 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 adoption. It was nonstop. And so whenever you had an actress go to an impoverished country, then all of a sudden, oh, they must, you know, they're going to adopt. One of the best things about, not necessarily, it doesn't happen as much now, but back in the first 3 or 4 years of the site, I used to get lots of tips from people that were a little bit off kilter. Let's just say it like that. And some of them were very persistent in reaching out to me. Oftentimes they would reach out 10 to 20 times a day trying to tell me this amazing thing that they had to say. And when you read it, you were like, that's interesting. You know, and so these emails, they would come from all over the world, and you know, they were a little bit sometimes on, I bet this person lives alone kind of thing, but they were always still fun to read. So back in 2009, I got an email from this guy named Serge, and I ignored it the first 10 times or so that Serge sent it to me. But it was important to him, and it's about a celebrity, and so I decided I'm going to give Serge a chance to express his opinions. And this is all 100% Serge, and he is convinced that Scarlett is a clone. And Serge, if you are still around, I would love to hear from you to see your thoughts on this now, because after I posted it, Serge kind of stopped writing to me. And he also believed that Ryan Reynolds was under the control of clones. Okay. All right. So this is the email. It is not a spam, but if you received that message second and plus time, just click delete button and have a nice day. Don't feel bad. Please understand original Scarlett's family very desperate to shut down that humiliating anti-Christian actress clones line career development. Hello, dear ladies and gentlemen. I would like to inform you that Scarlett Johansson, actress, actually is a clone from original person Scarlett Galabekian, last name, who has nothing with acting career. Surname Galabekian, because of adoption, happened in 1992. Clones was created illegally by using stolen biological material. Original person is very nice. Not damn sexy. Most important, she's a Christian young lady. I'll tell you more. Those clones, it's not only one. Made in Germany. World leader manufacturer of human clones. It is in Ludwigshafen am Rhein, Rhineland-Palatinate, Mr. Helmut Kohl's hometown. You cannot even imagine the scale of the cloning activity, but warning, Helmut Kohl clone staff strictly controlling all their clones, at least they trying, spread around the world. They're very accurate with that. Some of them are still Nazi-type disciplined and mind-controlled clones, so be careful. Get close with clones, you will be controlled as well. Original person is not happy with those movies, images, video, rumors, and etc. spreading on media in that way. It would be really nice, and this is all one run-on sense, if we all will try to slow down that actor's career development. Original Scarlett will really appreciate that. Please remember that original Scarlett's family did not authorize any activity with stolen biological materials. No matter what form it was created in, it was stolen and it is stolen. It all needs to be delivered to authorized personnel's control in Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. Original Scarlett never was engaged, by the way. Her close friend, Serge G. And then P.S. Controlling activity of any clones is U.S. military operation. Wow. So, I used to get a lot of those kind of things. And I'm kind of glad that I don't. But at the same time, you know, it was fun when I was doing a lot of articles and stuff, when you get one of those and I would write it. And then there was the whole back and forth that I had with the Nigerian scam artist, where I would actually reply to them and trying to talk to them and everything. And then they would write me back and I would, you know, respond. And it was, you know, a lot of fun. But at the same time, when you see somebody like Serge, you do wonder about the safety of actors and actresses, because, you know, just the woman walked into Jennifer Lawrence's house the other day. Now, she's got security and everything, and they were able to take care of it. But there's a lot of people that don't have the money for that kind of security. And the person just walked into Jennifer's house, and the door was unlocked. And, you know, that can be scary. And especially if you know that there's people like Serge out there. And I'm not saying Serge would never do anything to Scarlett, but it makes you stop and think that there are people out there who are convinced that she's a clone. Now, when we talk about Avril Lavigne being a clone or something like that, I think we all do a tongue-in-cheek, right? It's not, you know, controlling the world and creating all these people or anything like that. It's very tongue-in-cheek. And, you know, it's kind of fun. And I don't know if Avril embraces that fun or not. The one time that that I know of, when a waitress friend who talked to Avril about it, and Avril was pretty funny about it. So, you know, it's just that she didn't seem upset that the waitress was asking, and you can have a lot of fun. But that's completely different than, say, the Surge thing. Now, what I had talked about earlier about Scarlett not really wanting to meet with fans. So back in 2008, she was still working with Oxfam, and it was there was a big scandal about where you could have a date with Scarlett for this charity. And that happens a lot, where you have some kind of auction for a charity and you win a date or something like that. It happens all the time. And the question was, how much would you pay to get ignored by Scarlett Johansson? And back in 2008, she was selling what was originally referred to as a date with her. Then that kind of changed because she decided she didn't want to spend that much time with a fan. It wasn't a surge situation because there would have been somebody there. She just didn't want to spend time alone with a fan, just some random stranger, even for charity. So she complained and complained. And then finally, what it turned out to be was you got two tickets to the premiere of He's Just Not That Into You. So this tells you, you know, how far back this was. And, you know, Oxfam's a great charity. But I questioned whether the person who bought this would really spend even 1 second with Scarlett. And the thing that Oxfam was having trouble was because people were saying, well, this seems to violate some kind of truth in advertising thing. You know, it was supposed to be a VIP night with Scarlett. And the date consisted of she was going to hang out with you pre-premiere. You're going to watch the film together. And after the film, you're going to hang out. And that sounds like fun. That sounds like a great night. But then eBay and Oxfam, they changed the fine print of the rules. And they made it so it's possible. It said, essentially, it's possible you might not even get to meet Scarlett or even see her. And this, of course, despite the fact that, you know, there were these huge photos of Scarlett and a video of her talking about the auction and that they were still calling it Meet Scarlett. And apparently she just did not want to be seen with any kind of regular person, I guess, and was horrified at the thought of someone actually getting close to her that has not been sanitized for her protection. And she didn't want anybody shaking her hand or touching her. And she did finally, after all of this controversy, she said that you would get a handwritten note from her, which, sure, that's the same as meeting her, right? And then it was contrasted because you had Colin Firth doing the same kind of thing at the same time, and he was part of this deal. And he offered 2 VIP tickets to the premiere of Mamma Mia in London, drinks with him after the premiere, a personalized recording for your birthday or a friend's birthday, a video recording, kind of like Cameo, and he would say whatever you wanted him to say, and the winning bid for that was $8,000. Now, you know, I just, you know, I guess if you're going to the premiere, chances, you know, and it, you know, he's just not that into you. I had a lot of stars, so you probably get some kind of chance to maybe at least say hello. But I mean, you know, I guess the money was going to a good cause. And I think part of this was because she was with Ryan Reynolds at the time. And Ryan Reynolds probably, you know, he was laying down the law and telling her what she could do and couldn't do. But it really left a bad taste in the mouth of everybody. When I was going through it all, you know, you forget, you know, everybody remembers Scarlett and Ryan Reynolds. That's kind of a no-brainer. But, you know, don't forget that Sean Penn and Scarlett Johansson were together for a while. And, well, not a while. It was a month. And, you know, there was the whole charity thing. And again, with Sean Penn's charity in Haiti, and she wanted to really be a big part of that, and she wanted to get her face out there and, oh, just look, I'm doing these wonderful things. The relationship essentially consisted of a couple of quick trips and a bunch of sex, apparently, and they both, you know, chain smoke nonstop. And then, of course, the tabloids, if you start going out, then they had them moving in together, and Scarlett was trying to get pregnant, and how that Scarlett was suddenly in love with the idea of traveling to Haiti and getting involved in the whole process there. But here's the thing, is that Scarlett was perfectly happy to go do the Oxfam thing for a week. She was not happy at the idea of Sean going with Sean Penn to Haiti and actually having to stay there for any length of time. And at that time, he was staying for, you know, weeks on end. And, you know, I'm sure that the Russian hookers, you know, that Sean calls his poker buddies probably hurt too, but she was under the impression that they were just going to talk about Haiti and maybe go for a day or two. and not actually get on the ground and do any work. And so when she found out that that's what she was going to have to do, it was just boom. She thought it was fake, that, you know, he was just doing it for publicity. And, you know, it just kind of showed and still shows that Scarlett's really just all about the publicity. So we had it's one thing after the other, and it totally belies the image that she set for herself. So you had that first Oxfam scandal, and then the next thing you know, she tries that thing again. Okay, she literally, I think the next year, and when it all came out, it turned out that the winner of the previous one, they got the two free tickets, and then the note that they were supposed to get apparently wasn't actually written by Scarlett. That's how little she actually cared, and, you know, it made Oxfam look bad. So Oxfam tried it again the next year. I don't know if they had assurances from Scarlett that things would be better, but they wanted to make up for it. And, you know, it's a way for them to raise money, a lot of money, like in the Colin Firth thing. So if they can get people to do it, it's an easy way for them to make money. So they auctioned off two tickets to the Iron Man 2 premiere and a meet and greet with Scarlett. And, oh, it didn't happen. It didn't happen again. The person bid and she didn't even take 5 seconds. And the person bid a lot of money, and Oxfam, I think, ended up having to come up with something else. And I just, it was so bad. And then again, Colin did the same thing, and it was just better. So after a few years of this, finally, Scarlett said, I'm not going to deal with Oxfam anymore. They keep coming up with these things where I want to, where I have to meet people, and I'm not getting any of this money. So, which is fine, but don't say it like that. And that's how it turned out, because of the fact she stopped being the global ambassador, a global ambassador for Oxfam. And, you know, she did, you know, raise funds, and she traveled to India and Sri Lanka and Kenya and things like that. But, okay. She decided, hey, I would rather get paid a ton of money than work with Oxfam. And she got this huge deal from SodaStream, millions of dollars, okay? And many millions of dollars as the spokesperson for SodaStream. And I don't even remember her being the spokesperson for SodaStream. And when she took that job, it conflicted with Oxfam's position that SodaStream is anti-Palestinian because it has a factory in the West Bank. And so Scarlett had a decision to make, and she chose SodaStream over Oxfam. And then Scarlett said wrote some kind of statement, and Oxfam didn't agree with that. And, you know, Scarlett just said essentially, hey, I'm going to take the millions of dollars and I'll find a different charity. And she, I think the SodaStream ad, the first one was during the Super Bowl or something like that. One of the things that also I don't think people remember, and this was just back in 2012, was that Scarlett Johansson used to be the manager. Scarlett Johansson's mom used to be the manager of Scarlett. And here's what happened. So the mom was managing Scarlett. She was making, you know, 10, 15%, whatever it was. She was making, you know, millions of dollars a year. Now, she only had Scarlett as a client, nobody else. And Scarlett's mom's name is Melanie Sloan. And Melanie was fired essentially the same day that Scarlett married Ryan. So I'm not having, you know, my mother-in-law involved in any of this, and you just need to fire her. And unlike the marriage, the firing stuck. And Scarlett's mom found herself trying to kind of live off what she had already earned and was probably hoping that Scarlett would take her back at some point. And Melanie, maybe thinking a little bit over the top, tried to buy an apartment in New York City for $1.4 million, despite not having any income. She did, however, put down a $130,000 deposit, But the bank wouldn't give her a loan, so then she wanted the deposit back because she didn't really have anything to live on other than that deposit. And it was a big deal because the sellers, you know, wanted to keep the deposit because they thought that Scarlett's mom lied to them, claiming she was rich when she really didn't have as much money. So it was just, you would think, hey, Scarlett, you know, just help out your mom a little bit there. And it's just, anytime you get involved with Ryan Reynolds, you know, you have to essentially, you know, give yourself to him because that is kind of what his deal is. You know, he comes first and everything else comes second. Well, not even second, you know, everything else comes fifth or sixth. And when they were filming that Iron Man 2, so it was Scarlett and then you had Gwyneth Paltrow, right? And when they were filming it, they did not get along at all. And it was pretty bad. And, you know, at that time, Scarlett was more popular to an extent, but all, you know, all this bad publicity about Oxfam was fresh on everybody's mind. And then Gwyneth had just started Goop. And, you know, at that time, she was also trying to scam everybody into health club memberships with Tracy Anderson. And so there was a lot of pushback with, you know, with Gwyneth too. And anyway, there was talk about that they actually maybe almost got into a physical confrontation on Iron Man 2. Once again, we learned what kind of person Scarlett was in 2011. And back then, the trend, if you remember, was some, I think it was a Marine or some service member had asked a celebrity to go somewhere to the Marine Ball or something like that. And the celebrity had said yes, and it kind of created this trend where it had happened a lot. And there was somebody who decided to invite Scarlett to the Marine Corps Ball. And of course, she said no, you know. And it really would have been nice if she had said yes, you know, because she had the reputation of not being friendly to the fans, of the stiffing people who bought charity things involving her. She said when she was, you know, with Sean Penn that she would go to Haiti. She never went. She never actually went. So, you know, going to the Marine Corps Ball would have been a really great thing for two. Instead, she sent a note and a case of champagne, which she identified by name. So that way they would send it for free and she didn't have to pay for it. I mean, come on. I mean, who doesn't add while they're rejecting a date? You know, Scarlett, that's who, you know? And, you know, she said, I feel incredibly honored to have been invited to the Marine Corps Ball by, I think it was Sergeant Dustin Williams. And, you know, deserves recognition for his bravery, selflessness, all this kind of stuff. And she says, unfortunately, due to prior commitments, I will not be able to attend, but I'm sending you a case of Moet with gratitude. In my absence, I raise a glass to you and the men and women of the U.S. Marine Corps. But she didn't pay for it. It was sent. And I just, you know, it's kind of crazy. And it just, I don't know. One of the things that I had 100% forgotten about until I started doing this again was back in 2008 when I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry came out. And, you know, it was just, they played it every 5 seconds, right? And you wanted to just kind of rip your stereo out of your car and throw it out the window. And now I think, yeah, obviously it's been a long time and people can appreciate the song again. And, you know, at that time it's just, it was on every format because every format could play it and just, you could just turn up the station no matter the dial and you were going to hear that damn thing. Right. And it was in, you know, the elevator at work and grocery stores and all that stuff. It turns out that, you know, Katie confessed obviously that she didn't actually kiss a girl and doesn't know if she would like it, but she did write the song about Scarlett's lips and how much she wanted to kiss them. And then Scarlet, being Scarlet, can't just take a compliment or go with it and be gracious or anything like that. That's just not Scarlet. And this is, again, it's just a total opposite of, you know, how she is kind of made, how she's perceived. And she said in an interview with Allure magazine, "That's flattering, but my lips are kind of taken." You know, then, there is nobody that didn't hear that song. There's just nobody that didn't hear. If you listened, unless you listened to talk radio or something constantly, you heard that song. So in the interview, Scarlett said that she had never even heard the song, never heard about Katy Perry, and only heard the song for the first time when a reporter asking her about it played it for her. I mean, I know she might not have listened to the radio, but it makes even less sense because she is a self-professed singer, right? And musician who has her own album out. In my experience, singers and musicians surround themselves with other singers and musicians, and a wide variety of music is discussed and listened to. I find it really hard to believe that she could have gone that long without hearing it or knowing who Katy Perry was. You know, maybe Scarlett wanted us to think that she's an artist or something and not a top 40 singer, which would explain why no one ever wanted to see her perform at all. And Scarlett, of course, you know, is one to always make some waves. And there was an interview that she gave. I'm trying to think who it was with. I think it was a tabloid, not a tabloid, maybe People or something like that. And Scarlett said that she is too sexy for Hollywood. So yes, taking her ego pills again. And she said she misses out on a lot of roles in Hollywood because she thinks she's too sexy. Quote, "That has happened to me before, yeah. That's always an unfortunate thing to figure out. Why can't you see? For me, I would imagine casting someone, you would want to challenge yourself in some way." I think maybe she wasn't getting the roles because she only plays kind of one type of role. Now, when it's in Avengers or something, it's different. But honestly, anybody could play that role. You know, she got lucky that they cast her for that. If you look at something that actually requires acting, all of her roles kind of just meld into one person. You know, you can be sexy, and if you're a good actress, you can pull off anything. I think that Scarlett was just finding, you know, an excuse to why she loses out on parts to actresses who can, you know, actually act. Back in 2011, and again, totally forgot about it. There was a huge scandal because there were naked photos of herself, which just showed up all over the internet back in, I think it was October of 2011. And she told Vanity Fair at the time, "They were sent to my husband. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not like I was shooting a porno, although there's nothing wrong with that either." So it led everybody to think, well, maybe there's a Scarlett Johansson sex tape out there. And at the time, the husband she's referring to is Ryan Reynolds. And everybody was thinking, wow, Scarlett Johansson, Ryan Reynolds sex tape would probably, you know, break the internet. It would be worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. And then, you know, if there was a sex tape of Scarlett and Sean Penn, you know, what, a couple of bucks or something like that. It just, that was just an odd relationship. I mean, it was just odd. And one of the things is that I wanted to kind of talk about for a second was Scarlett and Sean apparently first hooked up when she was staying in Chateau Marmont. And their first day was in her bungalow, which, you know, is probably how Sean likes it. No dinner, just get down to business. And kind of wonder if he started opening his wallet afterwards and realized this was a free one. But Scarlett supposedly got Sean interested by telling them that she was going to go to Haiti or whatever. And what it made me think of, which is crazy, is that, and I had just seen it today or yesterday. So Scarlett, when she was about 19, I want to say, she was 18 or 19, and she had sold a house. She had a house for at the age of 18 or 19, And she sold it and she moved into to Chateau Marmont because she liked it there. And I mean, she's been on and off basically a resident there for a long time while she was single and stuff. And she, there's a famous story. And so she had met Benicio del Toro in the lobby or something and just said, "Hey, would you like to go to my room and have sex?" Just kind of out of the blue. And he said, "Well, yes, of course." And they went to the elevator, and this is, she was not in a one of the bungalows at that point. She just had a suite. And they started dry humping each other in the elevator, and it was a crowded elevator. This they were not alone at all. And people were very uncomfortable, and Scarlett has acknowledged that this happened. Benicio said, "Yes, you know, there may have been some kissing or something, but I don't remember the dry humping, and there certainly was no sex in the elevator," which is completely true. I mean, Chateau is, what, I think, 8 floors or something like that. It's not very tall, so you probably wouldn't have time to get undressed and have sex before the elevator reached to the top. But so when I see the story about how she hooked up with Sean Penn the first time, you know, it's totally consistent with how she kind of, you know, invited guys up to her room when she was at Chateau. And then she just has had these issues, you know, whether it's with the fans. And I was thinking about the place they had that shop in Paris, the husband, and I forget his name. And, you know, they tried to open the shop in Paris, and I guess he expected that she was going to be present there more often. And of course he wasn't, because again, she doesn't want to have to hang out with regular people. She enjoys being the star and the celebrity and having people fawn all over her. And if you have a little shop in Paris, you actually have to do some work, and that's not really going to happen. Right. So, anyway, that was kind of always a strange relationship, and I don't think anybody really understood it. But, you know, I mean, hey, you know, I remember that she wanted to do this huge announcement for when she was pregnant, but she didn't get a chance. You know, she was going to have what she hoped was a cover of a magazine or whatever, but she went to the Caesar Awards in France, their Oscars. And, you know, everybody at the Oscars think about how they're dressed. Well, Scarlett went in a blouse and pants. I mean, basically, and she was sitting in the front row. And, you know, it's just really pretty interesting that she did that. And so the next thing you know is that it turns out the reason that she was wearing pants was the fact that she was pregnant, and she didn't want anybody to know. But then at this point she decided, okay, well, you know, they take the pictures and everybody's saying, "Why are you wearing pants?" And there you go. There was a time, I think it was in 2012, and then no. So in 2013, she won Esquire Sexiest Woman Alive, and she had won it back in 2006 or something like that. And it was just, I guess, you know, it's these things, and I've talked about it before, but any of the Sexiest Men Alive, Sexiest Woman Alive, all the things that the tabloids do to get you to buy a copy, it's all preordained for the most part. It's publicists are the ones who sell their client. It's not an actual Sexiest Person Alive or anything. It's, you know, Scarlett Johansson's publicist says, "Hey, look, Esquire, whatever, you know, if you make her the Sexiest Woman Alive, we'll give you a bunch of interviews. You can do this. Plus whatever clients the publicist has, they make them available." It's all just a game. And it's just who can schmooze and kiss butt, who can offer the most access, who can offer the most clients, and is there a movie coming out? Because that's also important. You know, it's just all fake, just like a lot of everything else. Now, when Scarlett's photos hit the internet, you know, the FBI got involved. And the photos, you know, there was a hacker who went into it and start, you know, like that. And the FBI investigated, because obviously stealing photos from a phone is a crime. Now, the thing is that if you leave the camera somewhere and it's released, then that's a whole different thing. So if you think about, say, the Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee sex tape, if you believe their story, okay, this was not somebody who broke into their house and stole something. They had, I think, abandoned a house or something like that and left behind some tapes. And I think it was a construction worker who was doing a remodel. They're the ones who ended up with the tape. And so that was not stealing or anything like that. Now, you know, obviously, this is a long and involved thing, and they might have done it for publicity, you know, that story to say, oh, no, it wasn't us who decided to release it or whatever. So anyway, I really enjoyed the Ryan Reynolds and Scarlett Johansson breakup, because I kind of enjoyed watching them together, because you could just see the tension every single day when they were together, right? I mean, you had this world-class diva, and let's make no mistake, and then you have, oh, I was talking about Ryan being the world-class diva, and then you have the wife, right, who's having, you know, you're going to have marital problems. They had so many fights, so many arguments, so many were these public spectacles where they're yelling at each other in restaurants, and, you know, he was trying to control what project she took and everything, and she was having none of that, and they both let loose all the time on each other in public. So just imagine what was going on, you know, behind closed doors. I mean, they didn't even have a year, you know, when into their marriage, when everybody's like, this can't last. Ryan, right before they got married, almost broke it off, and he wanted her, I think, to sign a prenup, and back then, they were making probably close to equivalent amounts of monies or something like that, but he has, you know, he's completely insecure. I used to make a joke that he had an assistant with him at all times who just would carry a full-length mirror so Ryan could look at himself as he walked down the street. There was this huge argument right before she was supposed to go to Comic-Con for Iron Man 2, but Ryan was supposed to go also for Green Lantern, okay? And Warner Brothers, so you have this fight with your wife to the point where you are not going to Comic-Con to promote Green Lantern, and Warner Brothers was ticked. I mean, just beyond. And the fact that the movie tanked or whatever probably didn't help matters at all. Warner Brothers, I mean, you have these Comic-Con panels planned out in months. But the problem is that's what you get when you hire Ryan Reynolds. It's not that, you know, I don't like him in movies. He's a good-looking guy, but he is... And I talked about this, I think, yesterday, right? He is just the biggest pain in the ass to work with in a town filled with big pains in the ass. I mean, can you imagine being married to him? You know, it can't be fun at all. You know, forget what you see on Instagram and the pre-planned kind of things. That's not who he is. It's the image that he's trying to sell you, but that's not who he is. I don't think that is kind of thing. All right, one last Scarlett horror story before I let you guys go for today. And again, this was kind of her showing her true colors, and this was back in 2008. And at the premiere of The Spirit, and I don't even remember that movie, Scarlett snubbed all the fans that had been waiting up to 8 hours just to see her. not only didn't she stop and take any photos or sign any autographs, okay, and at a premiere, this is what you do. This is your job. I tell you guys this all the time. They're not hiring you for your acting. They're hiring you for ability to sell a movie. Okay, and they can put up with your being an a-hole like Ryan Reynolds if you can go out there and sell a movie and do fun things on social media. Okay, the thing is, these fans, like I said, 8 hours. She didn't take any photos. She didn't sign any autographs. Guess what she did do? She pulled a coat over her head so no one would try and talk to her. And then, of course, she still expects those same snubbed fans to go shell out, you know, whatever it was at that time, 2008, maybe, you know, 10 to 12 bucks, 10 to 15 bucks in 2008, to go see the film. There's no respect there. You know, she still wants her millions of dollars, and she, you know, she probably didn't even want to go to the premiere. You know, she's an actress, not a goddess. And somewhere along the line, she got the notion that she was better than everybody else. And just because you're born pretty and someone decided you would look good on film doesn't mean that you are better than anyone else. I can't stand when celebrities act like this. They need to realize that the fans are the ones who shell out the bucks, which keep the offers rolling in and the paychecks high. Without them, you're back begging for roles in indies and doing signings at the local Walmart to pay for your Botox. And then, to make matters worse, not only did Scarlett snub her fans, but she apparently decided she had better things to do than sit through the film or make the producers happy. She sat in a corner, away from everyone, for about 15 minutes, and then just walked out so she could go to a party George Clooney was throwing. I mean, that is Scarlett Johansson. Oh, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just kind of, it blows my mind. And she's not alone in this. It's just, there's not enough exposing of this kind of thing. And it's because the tabloids have given up. They have given up. I will say that the New York newspapers are pretty good about still calling out things. I think that they're pretty good about that. But that's it. You know, nobody would write about the Oxfam stuff anymore. Nobody would write about the fact that she snubbed her fans or anything like that. They're just so obsessed with having this access and the pictures and everything that they have given up any kind of sense of calling people out for their hypocrisy. They have given in to Ryan Reynolds making, you know, cute videos with Hugh Jackman, and they say that's just who we, you know, want to believe, and we're not going to believe or talk about anything else that he does bad. And they do this with every single actor and actress, unless it's just so in your face that they can't ignore it. And it's just, and it has progressed. It used to be just, you know, People Magazine used to actually write news stories. They used to actually break things. They used to actually care. And then over the years, it's just been, oh, hey, how can we make this star happy? Can we make money off of them? And, you know, we'll do whatever they tell us. And all of these things that I have spent the past 43 minutes talking to you about, none of them, nobody would write about any of them anymore. And it's an awful thing to see. And, you know, and even in the contrast where you had the Colin Firth part and where he auctioned off himself and everything, you don't even get that kind of story anymore. Something that's actual news. And you just, hey, Colin Firth, you're a great guy. And somebody did this and he promised all of this. And you just even wouldn't get that anymore. It's just easier to get some press release from some publicist and then write it. And the publicist says, oh, by the way, you know, there's going to be a little after party at the premiere. We'd love to have you come. And they go, oh, my gosh, I'd love to. My Instagram is just going to blow up with me having pictures at this premiere. And that's what people care about. All right, you guys, I will talk to you tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be part two of Scarlett Johansson, although I really do enjoy talking about her. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Be safe.